We're going to dig into Good Friday, what Good Friday is all about. And man, if I'm going to be straight up and going to be honest with you guys, for myself, Good Friday, it brings a mixture of emotions in my heart. And maybe you guys will understand that today a little bit. Maybe some of you guys already feel that, that Good Friday brings a mixture of emotions or feelings in your heart. Let me put it to you like this. Back on January 20th, I had this feeling is like this mixture of feelings or a mixture of emotions in my heart, okay? And so I'm just gonna ask real quick, just raise your hand if you're with me. On January 20th, you had a mixture of emotions. Anyone? Okay, a couple of you guys know what I'm talking about, which I think it's because a couple of you guys know what I'm about to say, all right? Back on January 20th, the Ohio State Buckeyes won the national championship, all right? Yeah, okay, that's right, it's good stuff. And so I remember that night. I was in Kansas then, all right? We were with some of our family and friends out there. And man, I remember awesome game and seeing Ohio State go through the playoffs and beat Notre Dame and win that title. And I remember as like the clock hit zero, I remember just like being elated, being excited, like high-fiving, jumping up and down. I mean, everyone was excited, right? We were pumped up. And then 10 minutes goes by, and they wheel the stage out, and I think they were in Mercedes-Benz Field playing the national championship, and they're handing the trophy over to Coach Ryan Day and Captain Jack Sawyer, and everyone's excited. And I was there with Marissa, my wife, and I leaned over to her, and I said, what am I going to do the next 8 months on Saturdays at 12 o'clock? Right, and I mean, I'm serious. It like sank in that, man, I mean, this is awesome. We won the title, but now I got to wait 8 months until college football starts back up again. I was pumped, but at the same time, I had a mixture of feelings, man. I was down. Maybe get a little more serious. Maybe you're a parent here, and maybe your kids have been married, and dad, you'll probably understand this a little better. But your little girl, right, that you, man, you gave her away to the man of her dreams and someone that you'd maybe prayed about. You walked her down the aisle, and no doubt, like, you're excited, man, that she went to the, you know, this man that was a man of her dreams and someone that you were glad and excited and you approved of. But the sad part is your little girl's gone now, and she's living somewhere else and starting a family and a life of her own. You're excited and happy, but you're conflicted, right? You got a mixture of emotions on the inside. Well, I think that's kind of how it is on Good Friday. See, because if you're a believer, which I imagine most of us in here are in a Good Friday service, you understand what Christ did on that cross. You get what he went through. You know the pain that he faced. You know the pain both physically and spiritually. See, takes all the pain that he faced, and we're going to talk about tonight, but he takes all that and he does that for us in love. You know, spiritually, the weight that he bears as he bears your sin and my sin. You guys get it, man. But the other side of that is this, is without him dying on the cross for our sins, we have no hope. All right, we have no joy. We have no eternal life. We have no forgiveness of our sins. And so Good Friday, this day when Jesus would go and he would die a criminal's death as an innocent man on the cross, we have a mixture of emotions. We're sad, but also joyful. We're conflicted. And here's the deal. Tomorrow and Sunday at all three of our campuses, man, we're going to be slam-packed. I mean, I think that we understand that. All of our campuses, we are slam-packed on Sundays. It's going to be packed tomorrow. All of our campuses, Northwood, Tiffin, Fremont, it's going to be packed on Sunday, which is a great thing. There's going to be a lot of people that come, and they hear what is no doubt the greatest event in human history, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we got to pause. We have to pause because without the death, we can't have the resurrection. Only thing that comes to life is dead things. We know this. Without the death of the one and only Son of God, man, we can't be forgiven. So let's go ahead. Let's just stop by the cross this Good Friday and look at what it says in John, the words of John in John 19, verse 17 to 20. You can follow along the screens behind me or in your Bible or in your device. John 19, 17 to 20 says this. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two other men, one on either side and Jesus in between. Pilate, he also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It was written, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Let's think about this. Before Jesus, before he bears his cross and he goes to the cross, think of what he's went through. He's been mocked by the people he's came to love on and to save. He's been slapped by them. He's been spit on by them. He's been punched in the face by them. He's had his beard pulled from his face by these people. He had spent time at the whipping post, getting whipped by Roman guards. He took a cat of nine tails, which if you don't know what that is, it's just a whip that was fashioned and had nine different ends that came off of that were leather. And on the very end of those leather straps was bone fragments and metal fragments and stone fragments that they tied in and they fashioned in. And the Roman guard, he would, as the criminal or as Jesus is laying over that post, the Roman guard would hit him. And it would wrap around his body and they would yank it out, taking everything from skin to flesh, to bone, to deep tissue, causing the individual to be in immense pain. Not only that, but he has a crown of thorns that's placed on his head. And a lot of scholars think that this was from the date palm. 4 to 6 inch long spikes that these guards, they fashioned and they hammered it into his head. And as a mockery, they put a purple sash on his shoulders. All this, remember, before he goes to the cross for us, we have to pause and to think about the weight of our sin. So Jesus, he's getting ready to go to the cross. He knows this, man. He knows that this is his purpose. Redemption, a relationship with Jesus that we want, it cannot happen unless he goes to the cross. John tells us this, that he's hanging between two thieves as an innocent man being made a mockery of. Crucifixion, as he's there on the cross, it was such a painful and embarrassing thing that the Romans, they wouldn't even do it for a lot of their own citizens. It was something that was for the enemies of Rome. It was for those that were rebels. It was for the most serious of all criminals. And as the Roman guards, they prepared the criminal. They would do this. They would lay the cross down. And they would stretch their arms out. I imagine it took a few guys to do that. They would stretch the arms out, someone probably holding down an arm and another guard taking that 9-inch dull spike and beating it into his wrist. And after that was done to both wrists, then, and you guys all know this, but they would take that and another 9-inch dull spike and they would cross the feet and pound it to the feet. After that was done, they would lift the cross up and drop it into the ground. And as the individual hung there, the struggle for breath became the real issue. Their arms are stretched out, their rib cage is extended. And they got the pain from the nails in their wrists and in their feet. And they have to, every time they want to exhale or inhale, they have to lift up, they have to push up on the nail on their feet or pull up on the wrist. And they would be in excruciating suffering, massive pain. In fact, the word excruciating means intense pain, and it's derived from the word in Latin, which means out of or from the cross. The criminal would typically die of suffocation, because what would happen is this: as they were hanging on the cross, their muscles would just give out, and they couldn't do anything else, and they would just suffocate because they couldn't push up. History tells us this. I thought that this was interesting. I found this out last year as I was preaching a Good Friday service, but history books tell us that a lot of times we think of the crosses as, you know, they were 7-8 feet in the air, and the reality is this, is crosses weren't that high in the air. They were typically just a little above eye level, and that was all on purpose. The point of that was, once again, to make a mockery of them. So as the crowd was right there before them, they could look them in the eye, they could spit in their face, and as the criminal or the person on the cross was taking their last breath, they could be looking them in the eye. So think about this. Jesus, he's stripped, he's naked, he's bloody, he's so disfigured, he doesn't really look like a human. What was the most excruciatingly painful and embarrassing death of a criminal? It's now happening to the one who knows no sin. Why? Because he loves you. Doesn't make sense, does it? It's hard for us to think about, but again, this is his purpose. Isaiah 53:5-6, it says this: he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we're healed. All of us, like sheep, we've gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Listen, we got to get this. He took the insults. He took the whips. He took the nails. He took the pain for you. So why do we need to remember? Why do we need this? Why do we need to talk about this death that Jesus faced on Good Friday? Why do we need to talk about all the pain that he went through? Well, because it's something we as Christians shouldn't forget. I mean, it's a historical event that we should never forget. And there are days that in history that we remember. July the 4th, 1776. That's something we remember every July the 4th, 1776 as a country of the United States of America. There are days like 9/11. A lot of us we can point back to. We can remember where we were at. And the attack that happened, a sad day. And church, man, Good Friday is the same. It should be one that every year that it rolls around that we pause. And man, we remember and we look to cross what Christ did for us. See, it reminds us as well, this whole scene of the cross, it reminds us that he's like us, right? He's like us. He experienced pain. He experienced difficulties in life, and he became like us so we could be like him. C.S. Lewis, in one of his books, he said it best about Jesus dying for me and for you on the cross. He said this: he endured sickness for our healing. He suffered loneliness for our redemption. He withstood wounds for our comfort. He braved pain for our peace. And if that wasn't enough, he experienced separation from his Holy Father in order to bring us back into his presence. So, Jesus is on the cross, and he's hanging there between these two criminals, choosing to stay there in the name of love. Could have called down thousands of angels that were waiting for him, could have called them down to come to him and to take him off the cross. But in love, he chooses to stay. And then look what John says as we wrap up this Good Friday scene. Verse 28 to 30 of John 19 says this: after this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, he said this. He says, I am thirsty. Just think about that. The living water is now saying this, man, I am thirsty. It shows his humanity. Verse 29, a jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine upon a branch of hyssop, and they brought it up to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, ready? This is important. He said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. The saddest words in history, Jesus says this. He says, it is finished, or it sounds like at least. But the reality is this, that's not the case. See, with his very last breath, he says, it is finished. And that's three words in the English language, but in Greek, that was one word. And that word is tetelestai. And it has a dual meaning. The dual meaning is this. It means it is both finished and paid in full. And so he's saying to all the people as he's hanging there with his very last breath, the last thing that he says is tetelestai. Your sin debt, man, it's finished. It's paid in full. I've done the work. It's over with. And he's saying this to every race, every color, every tribe, every tongue. He's proclaiming this to the world, not just the people in the crowd that were listening, but he's proclaiming it, and it echoes throughout history. Tetelestai. It was obviously a word that we don't use in our language, but it was a word that was used then. And it was a very common theme when the boss would be finishing up the project, building a home or whatever. At the end of the day, it's 5 o'clock, and he would look with his laborers around, and he would say, "Tetelestai." The artist, when he was, you know, painting this canvas, and he's finishing up, and he is done. He steps back. He would look at the painting, and he would say, "Tetelestai." The creditor, when the debt was paid in full by the individual paying back the debt, the creditor, once the money came in, he would stamp it, and he would say, "Tetelestai. It's finished, man. It's done. It's paid in full." So. Here's our takeaway. Here's our application. This Easter weekend in 2025, Good Friday. Here it is. What did Jesus tetelestai? What did Jesus finish on the cross for you? What did he finish on the cross for you? I mean, every single one of us, we have sins and struggles. We wrestle with. You gotta know this, man. You gotta know that sin's been paid for. Maybe it's shame, maybe it's guilt, pride, hatred, bitterness, pornography, lust, greed. You gotta know, man. It's paid for. It's paid for on the cross, and it's paid in full. It's done. Maybe for you, man, you're like, AJ, listen, I get that. I'm a believer. I've accepted Christ. But I've got this one thing, man. I've got this one thing that it haunts me that I did years ago. And I know that Jesus is my Savior. But, man, every time that I dig in my relationship with Jesus and I'm here worshiping, it's like the enemy just whispers in my mind, in my ear, like, hey, you know what you did back then. You know what you did. The devil tells me, I know what you did. And we think this for some reason, man. I'm embarrassed about it. I just don't know if God can forgive it. You got to understand this, man. Tetelestai. It's done. It's finished. It is paid in full. There's more grace in Jesus than there's sin in you. That's it, man. So, stop carrying the dead weight this Easter, man. Let this one be different. Easter 2025, take that weight, take that sin and lay it down. Look back and remember what he did for you and in love on the cross, be grateful. Be excited for the greatest event in human history. But again, pause. Just pause. Look what Jesus did on the cross for you in love. Resurrection morning is coming, but again, sin must be paid for tonight by Jesus' death on the cross. So, yes, Good Friday, going full circle back to the beginning of the message. It does bring a mixture of emotions, but what makes it so good is the fact that sin's curse, man, it's broken. It's done. Not because of what we did, but because of what he did on the cross. Let's remember that this Good Friday. Heavenly Father, we come before you thankful, grateful for the opportunity to look back and God, just remember what you did on the cross for us in love. God, I pray that you would help us this Easter weekend to think about that. Maybe we have that one thing that's haunting us this weekend. God, I pray that we would remember that it's been paid for. Tetelestai, it's finished, it's done. Sin's penalty, the curse is taken care of. I pray this Easter weekend 2025 that we would lay that down on the cross. Give that to you, we pray. God, we're excited for Easter services here at Grace and all that you're going to do. We pray that you would work tomorrow, work on Sunday. We pray that churches will be packed with people that don't know you. And God, they would come in and they would leave different. That means they would come in a sinner and they would leave a follower of you, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name.